thank you, Marilyn. And welcome. We are welcome back to the parlor. Only temporary. Most of you received my email this week, and I was planning as of this morning we would be in the sanctuary, but it was only 60 when I came in. And the pews felt rather cold. And I thought, you know, for folks to sit for an hour on the cold wood, spread out. You know, we got body heat in here as well as oil heat, gas heat. So I did decide this morning that we were going to move to the parlor. And so I want to thank those that helped to set up, especially Andy and Rosa Nowak that helped move the furniture and set stuff up, and musicians that are punting, you know, a little bit and having to change some things. Marilyn had to change both of her prelude and her postlude. So the music we just enjoyed was entitled Solace by Scott Joplin. And the postlude is going to be Christ Has Made the Sure Foundation by Henry Purcell. So, but welcome. This is often known as Low Sunday in the church calendar year because of Easter Sunday, often having, you know, the Easter Christians that come. And we did have attendance was much better than average last Sunday. But you're proving this wrong, you know, that this is not necessarily a low Sunday for us. So it's good to have all of you here. And I was afraid that, you know, my warning that the sanctuary might be cold, that was, you know, scare some people away as well. But some of you I see came prepared with sweaters and jackets. So anyways, it's good to have you all here for worship. And as we do worship on this first Sunday after Easter, we still are basking in the glow of the empty tomb. And after the worship service, we will have coffee hour right in the kitchen beside the kitchen. And you are invited to stay for that. On the back page of the bulletin, you'll see the calendar for this week. I do want to point out that there will be a guest preacher here next week. I will be away next Sunday. And the Reverend Michael Harvey, the Executive Director of the Conference of Baptist Ministers in Massachusetts, will be here. And I believe he was here back in September when I was delayed in my return from my summer vacation last year. So he will be here and leading worship preaching and leading the communion service next Sunday in my absence. Some other things, there is a blanket order form if you'd like to give a gift, a $5 gift in honor or in memory of a loved one for Mother's Day. That is printed on the back side, back page of the hymn insert. You'll note, yeah, there are no hymnals in here. Since the large print bulletins already have the printed music, I just went over to the office and made the small copies, and we inserted them in the bulletin. So the hymns for today are printed on the insert. And the back page of that has an order form if you'd like to give a gift for blankets for Mother's Day, and that's there. Also, there's another insert that talks about blankets, our Church World Service blankets. This color insert is in the bulletin as well. And we are going to have a mission moment today that's not listed in the bulletin, but it will be inserted in there a little later in the service to hear more about the Church World Service blankets. We are still receiving orders for the Refugee Immigration Ministry spring flower order forms. The forms aren't here, but check with Marilyn Glover after the service. If you would like to order them, next Sunday is the deadline, and the flowers will be delivered the next Sunday on Mother's Day. Also, there's a sign-up sheet out in the hallway for greeters and coffee hour hosts, and next Sunday, May 5th, and the third Sunday of the month, May 19th, I think it is, are vacant. So if you are willing to be a greeter or a coffee hour host one of those Sundays, please sign up. And I think that's all the announcements I had, but then I'm going to do show and tell. Heather Hawkins just dropped this off, and this is an anniversary plate. Some of you may have one at home. We do have one in our cabinet here. This one will probably go down in our archive room over in the parish house. Those of you who have been here a long time may remember the Reverend Arnold G. Bud Hawkins, who was pastor, who was associate pastor here. I saw it a minute ago. 1956 to 1958. He was the pastor. I thought he was associate. Was he pastor here?
No.
He was associate pastor here. Okay. From 56 to 58. So as I said, you have to have been here a long time ago to have remembered him.
Well, I remember him, but he's the one that got me started playing hymns for the junior high department.
So he had an important influence on our church. And she wrote that my mom, Jean R. Hawkins, moved recently, and we came to this plate and thought you'd like to have it. And they were active in the First Baptist Church of Jamaica Plain for many, many years. And Helen Fleet knew them from there as well, because she was, her family is from Jamaica Plain. So that was a little show and tell. And I think at this point, let's turn in the bulletin, in the on page 2 of the bulletin, in the order of service, for our responsive call to worship. Friends and followers, three women have returned reporting that the tomb is empty. Mary reports that she has spoken with him. He has risen.
The Lord has risen indeed.
Two travelers have returned from Emmaus, reporting that he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. He is risen.
The Lord has risen indeed.
It is reported that he appeared in the midst of a group of faithful followers while they were in a locked room. He is risen.
The Lord has risen indeed.
Alleluia. Come, let's worship God. Our opening hymn is Worship Christ the Risen King, it's on the insert, and we'll be singing verses 1 and 2 and 4 and 5. And if you're able to stand, we sing. Together. Risen Christ, you are our King, and as you greeted some of your first followers, so come and meet us here. May your Easter greeting come alive in our hearts, so that we may be filled with joy and share the good news that you are alive. We ask this in your name, and now pray as you taught as we say aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. may be seated. And we're going to have a mission moment now, and Marilyn Glover is going to come, and Lana's going to help. So,
want to pay attention to what Lana's holding up. When she was just 4 years old, Nora McNiff decided to help her grandmother with their church's Blanket Sunday. Now 8, Nora is leading the Blanket Sunday at that church in Marysville, Michigan. She has also seen Church World Service blankets being distributed to people in need through the Neighbor to Neighbor program in Berrien Springs, Michigan. When Nora was asked how she thought people feel after receiving a warm blanket, she said, "They will feel comforted and happy and joyful." God has blessed us with so much, and we have so much to share. Generous congregations like Nora's and ours share thousands of Church World Service blankets with neighbors in need every year, spreading that warmth, happiness, and joy. Nora says, quote, "I want to say thank you to all of the churches that have a Blanket Sunday. I saw how they use the blankets, and it's awesome," unquote. We hope to keep being aware awesome this spring and help Church World Service blanket the world with love. Julianne Christie, Nora's grandmother, has said, "Blankets show more than just their physical use. Blankets show caring and show love." We at First Baptist Malden are hosting a Blanket Sunday in honor of Mother's Day this spring, so please consider making a donation. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you, Marilyn and Lana.
And the time of service when we are able to share celebrations and concerns with one another. And I spoke with Claire Stevens yesterday and got an update on her, and she's doing okay, and also her son Bill, who had cancer surgery a week ago, and he is home. I think just got home maybe Friday, realizing that it requires more than just a trip to the hospital after your surgery to, you don't bounce back that fast. And so he's a little frustrated at home, but there'll be some healing. They're still waiting for some more pathology reports before they make some final determinations for further treatment. But we want to keep him in prayer. Also, one of Claire's grandsons had a surgery to repeat, to repair a previous surgery that didn't hold. So he's also on the mend. So I want to keep both those folks in prayer, both of the Stevens family. And as we're praying for our Judson sister churches on the North Shore, this one I don't know how to pronounce. Iglesia Evangelica Comunidade de Cristo in Cuba. I looked it up online. It said it was Hispanic, but I don't think that's Spanish. I think it's more Brazilian.
No, it's Portuguese.
It's Portuguese. I think it's a Brazilian congregation in Cuba. So we want to pray for that congregation as they are ministering in that area. And we need to be those folks. Even though we don't all worship in the same language, but we're all worshiping the same Christ. We're all worshiping the same God. And we just want to lift up that congregation in this ministry today. Do you have any requests for prayer today, either a celebration or a concern you'd like to share with the church family? Good.
Can I celebrate the signs?
Oh, yeah.
They look amazing.
There's so much else going on this week that I may pray out on the signs. So our new church signs are installed, finally, after almost a year. I think we started last June talking about them in meetings. So starts and stops, but they are in. If you haven't seen them, I do encourage you to walk by the signs. One faces Ferry Street, one faces more angled towards the square. It has all the congregations that meet in this building, plus a Boy Scout troop listed. And although we have a few Asian folks here this morning, I'm fearful that because we don't have times and things listed, you can't do that on that kind of sign. But they might have come looking for it for an Asian. But anyways.
Sign works.
If that was the case, and why they came in, that sign works, and then we could just direct them otherwise. Their English was not very good, but they had another appointment online, but they wanted to stop it. So it may be a drawing card. That's right. And so hopefully the signs will work. And we thanked the city councilors that have helped us, and we're very, very, very thankful. So it's one thing that we've been working on quite a while. So that is a celebration, Debbie. I assume you saw them up close.
I went that way.
I assume you saw them up close and personal. We sent pictures around this week, but picture doesn't always do the justice to see it in real life. So anyone else have a prayer request today? Just Irene.
Yeah. I heard on the news that there was a very bad shooting again in the synagogue
in California.
I kind of blows my mind to think that these things are happening in our country. It's got to be an answer.
It's, you know, where, you know, we tout that we have freedom of religion. You know, that's one of our basic tenets of our nation. And, you know, some people don't agree with that, obviously. And
well, there's other ways to protest it, you know, other than shooting people.
Right, and it was, and I don't know how many month anniversary it was from the previous shooting at Synagogue. So, and I think the problem is time that way. I don't know that, but it just seems odd. So, yeah, we want to lift up our Jewish community locally, but also across our nation and around the world as they are in mourning today.
We've a glorious sister. She's up here from Florida. It was a special hot operation, took about 6-7 hours. Wow. And it's the only place in the country they do it, it's Mass General.
Wow.
So it's a special treat.
Right,
have her visit us, but.
It's nice to have her visit, but not for that.
Not for you. And on a happy note, we're married 46 years. This
Congratulations.
Hey. We have a lot of things going on at home.
Good. That's great. That's wonderful. Any other prayer requests today? Stanley, I'm sorry.
Yes, Pastor. Let's pray for our president. President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
That he will have the moral fortitude to survive the persons, the Democrats that are trying to impeach him.
Okay.
And that he will have, okay. It won't interfere with his duties as our leader.
We'll pray for the president. Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Anyone else? If not, then let's go to God. We have some requests that have been mentioned here are some of this on your heart. Let's pray together. Have this space and this building that's warm today that we're able to worship here. And while it requires some adjustment on some of our parts, Lord, it's good to be able to be together today and to be worshiping you and not feeling very cold, you know, in the sanctuary. Lord, we know that the space does not really matter because it's you that we are worshiping. We can worship you wherever we are. And we thank you that you are always there for us, always available to receive our prayers and our petitions. But Lord, as we gather to worship today, this Sunday after Easter, we are still remembering that message of the empty tomb. Well, we celebrate that message every single Sunday. It's especially important during this season. We annually celebrate the empty tomb on Easter Sunday, Resurrection morning. But also we bask in the glow of this season, the Sundays afterwards. It's called the Easter season. As we remember Christ not only just coming out of the tomb, but encountering some of his followers and their questions and doubts and whether it could really be true. And Lord, we just pray that when we have doubts, that you would come to us and to reassure us that you are alive, that you are working in us and through us in our world. Lord, as we lift up today our world, and, you know, we've heard of another shooting at a synagogue. And we pray for that synagogue and those people in that community. We pray for others, Lord, that have been affected by violence in their houses of worship. And it's, you know, it's like we could feel that might be the last place that we might go that we could be safe. But we realize that it is not necessarily the safest place. So we just lift up, Lord, for those that are fearful today of going to a house of worship because of the violence that's taking place. We pray, Lord, that the violence that takes place will not change the message that is shared in those communities, that the love and the grace that's offered through those communities, that they will continue to reach out to the community and realize that, you know, one lone person does not speak for the entire community of being against them. Lord, we've been very fortunate that we've had very little violence against our houses of worship in the Malden area. And we're grateful for that. We're grateful for our police force that, you know, cares for us and watches over all the houses of worship. But Lord, we just pray that for those that feel are fearful and that are in needing safety today, that they may sense that. That people may rise up and protect those areas that where there is danger today. But Lord, as we are thinking about our communities, we also pray for our government, especially our federal government. We have three branches, and we pray that they may work together. We pray for our president, that he may make wise decisions.
Amen.
For our government, for our nation as a whole. Lord, we also just lift all of our elected leaders up, that they may work together in the best interests of our nation, that our nation may move forward and celebrate and lift up the freedoms that we espouse, that we may have those freedoms. Lord, we lift up those today who are ill and those who are recovering from surgery and also those who are awaiting surgery. We just thank you for those that have been blessed with the knowledge and the skill in medicine, that they're able to care for us when our bodies are injured or diseased. And just, you know, we thank you for that gift to those individuals. Lord, we celebrate, you know, birthdays and anniversaries today. And we thank that you have created us to be in relationship with one another. We just thank you when those milestones are reached and we're able to celebrate those things. Lord, we also lift up our sister church in Peabody, a Brazilian congregation, that they may be reaching out to the folks in that neighborhood, in that community, with the love of Jesus Christ and sharing the good news of the empty tomb with them on this day and future days, that church may grow, not only in number, but in spirit. They may be following your plan for that congregation. We lift them up in prayer today. Lord, we lift all of these prayers now to you in the name of our risen Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
We have an opportunity to continue our worship as we present our tithes and gifts, and the ushers will receive the morning offering.
Oh,
Let's pray together. Lord, you have created us a marvelous creation. And Lord, we just thank you for that. And in gratitude for all of your blessings, we present these tithes and gifts to you and ask that you would bless them and bless us as we use them to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated at this time. We'll be having some praise and worship singing.
Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever.
May my will forever be.
Andrew and Sudanta. And Rosalind is now going to come and read scripture. I haven't worn many hats today.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Okay, our scripture today is in John chapter 20, and we're reading verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands at his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they were given. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and the place, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Rosalind. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard from your holy word this day, count in the Gospel of John, about the disciples being in that room with the doors locked for fear, out of fear, and Thomas not with them, but Jesus appearing before them. And in that encounter, they shared with Thomas later, and he not believing. And we often think of seeing as believing. You know, we can't believe something if we don't see it for ourselves, if we don't experience for ourselves. Lord, we pray this day that our hearts and our minds may be open to receive a message from you that will help us as we journey in our faith, and when we have those struggles and those doubts, that your Spirit will help us in our daily living as we be more faithful in our following and our discipleship of sharing the good news of Christ with others. We ask this all in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Eyewitness testimony. Many television stations around the country have what they call eyewitness news. You may have noticed that. They have some on their vehicles, in fact. But is eyewitness news trustworthy? Can we believe everything we see? One of the primary reasons Christians believe that Jesus was resurrected from the dead is because of eyewitness testimony. Without the eyewitness testimony of those who saw Jesus alive after the crucifixion and told others about it, it would be difficult to make a case for the resurrection. In Acts chapter 10, for example, the Apostle Peter addresses Gentiles who were non-Jews, gathered in the house of a centurion named Cornelius. Peter, referring to himself and some fellow believers with him, said, "We were witnesses to all that Jesus did in Judea and Jerusalem." He was indicating, meaning during Jesus' ministry, they saw those things. And then Peter, speaking of Jesus' death and resurrection, said that Jesus appeared not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses. This is one of at least 10 references in the book of Acts to eyewitness affirmations of the resurrection of Jesus. And there are several verses elsewhere in the New Testament that allude to it as well. The Apostle Paul even reported that Jesus appeared to more than 500 believers all at one time. The number of witnesses was important in Jewish law. Valid witnesses to an event must have seen the event with their own eyes or heard it with their own ears. Generally, hearsay from another person was inadmissible. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15, in a paraphrase, we read this: "You cannot convict anyone of a crime or sin on the word of just one witness. You need two or three witnesses to make a case." Through the centuries, in court cases and the reversal of criminal convictions, eyewitness testimony has often been a problem. It's come to be seen as a huge problem in some cases. A report by the Innocence Project, an organization that uses DNA testing to exonerate those wrongfully convicted of crimes, says that since the 1990s, when DNA testing was first introduced, 73% of the 239 convictions that were been overturned through DNA testing were based on eyewitness testimony. One-third of these overturned cases rested on the testimony of two or more mistaken eyewitnesses. There's research showing that 75% of false convictions are caused by an inaccurate eyewitness statement. This is attributed to various factors, such as memory decay. I think we all have that a little bit. Poor eyesight, induced stress, and something known as eyewitness talk, where witnesses discuss what they saw with each other after the event and then change their minds about what they thought they saw based on the statement of another witness. I can see that happening, and not on purpose, but before you get to court, you start, "Did you see what I saw?" I mean, you're talking about it, and, "Well, I didn't see it that way." And it's like, well, so one of us might change our mind a little bit, and then when it comes to court and we have to testify, I think it was this way. You know, and we even convince ourselves that we haven't changed our minds, but that's what we saw and heard. One survey found that 86% of real eyewitnesses claimed to have discussed the event with other eyewitnesses prior to giving testimony. 86%. That's before the judge says, and that's usually to the jurors, "Don't talk amongst yourselves." But he doesn't have that to an eyewitness before him. Researchers say that this talking among eyewitnesses can result in the process called co-witness conformity, where eyewitnesses are influenced into including in their statements things they didn't actually see. With all of this in mind, we come to the story of the resurrected Jesus appearing to his disciples when Thomas was not with them. When Thomas later arrives, his colleagues tell him what they've seen, but Thomas is not convinced. He's hearing eyewitness testimony from no fewer than 10 of his friends, all of whom have spent a lot of time with Jesus before the crucifixion and certainly should not have had any problem identifying him as the resurrected Jesus. But Thomas is nobody's fool. People don't get up and just walk around after they're dead and buried. So the eyewitness testimony, no matter that it's unanimous in claiming that Jesus is alive, isn't enough to sway Thomas. But then a week later, Thomas finds himself face to face with the resurrected Jesus and is invited to touch the nail prints in his hands and the wound in his side. And Thomas blurts out, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus' response almost sounds like a scolding. "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." It's like Jesus is saying, "You should have believed that eyewitness testimony, Thomas. Shame on you." But isn't that odd that Thomas's reservations were completely understandable? And in terms of today's forensic and legal processes, not only understandable, but necessary. And Jesus must have understood that. Seeing is believing, we sometimes say. In fact, a lot of sermons are titled that. You know, seeing is believing, or believing is seeing. And that's the way Jesus was turning that around and saying, believing is seeing. Certainly, that's how it has to be for the rest of us who follow Jesus. We don't have the first encounter at the empty tomb. Although the New Testament does speak of eyewitnesses, our conviction that Jesus is a living Lord does not start there. It starts in faith. In calling Jesus' statement to Thomas a scolding, perhaps we've misread that a little bit. Maybe it's more like an observation that Jesus was making and pronouncing a special blessing on those who believe without the eyewitness testimony. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet come to believe. And not so much putting it on Thomas, but blessing those that don't require that seeing. In other words, Jesus might have been thinking, if you need to have evidence, fine. But you are really blessed if you can believe without that corroborating evidence. Certainly, Jesus' statement tells us that's what's required in this earthbound world in terms of evidence and testimony and proof is not currency. It's not worth anything in the kingdom of God. What's required for our spiritual lives is faith, which the writer of Hebrews describes as the evidence of things not seen. C.S. Lewis once famously remarked that he believed in Christianity just like he believed in the sun. He wrote, quote, "Not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else," end quote. So as we gather on this Sunday after Easter, it's not to look for more evidence to confirm that the resurrection of Jesus happened, but it's to celebrate how it helps us interpret the world and to receive from it both our daily hope and our long-term optimism. Eyewitnesses can be mistaken when they testify to what they saw or think they saw, but that's not true in every case. And sometimes eyewitnesses help authorities grasp the impact of what has happened. I want you to consider the following story entitled Eyewitnesses. "It couldn't have been him. It could not have been him," the distraught woman said. "I talked to him not more than an hour ago." The police officer shifted uneasily on his feet. These things were never easy. "I'm sorry, ma'am," he said, "but we identified him from his driver's license, and the car was registered in his name as well." "Well, it's got to be a mistake. It's not him." "Actually," replied the officer, "we will need someone to formally identify him." "I'll do it." That was the family's 16-year-old son. The mother didn't know how long he had been standing behind her, but suddenly she was glad that he was there. He was such a level-headed boy. He'd be able to straighten out this colossal mistake. One look, and he'd know the man lying in the morgue was not his father. And then the police could put this, their energies into finding out who the unfortunate driver was. "Thank you, son," she said. Then turning to the officer, she added, "My son will go with you, and you'll see. It's not my husband you've got there." The starch in her voice was almost convincing, but both the officer and the son noticed the quiver in her lip. "Is there someone we can call for you first?" the officer asked. "Not necessary," the woman said, gathering her courage. "You'll have my son back in no time. You'll see." It was less than an hour later, and the son returned. But as he opened the door, his mother took one look at him and knew the awful truth. They crumpled into each other's arms, sobbing with great grief. In first century Jerusalem, the disciple Philip said, "It could not have been Jesus. They crucified him. All Jerusalem saw it. Nobody could have survived that. He's dead. I didn't want to believe it, but it's true." Mary Magdalene could hardly stand still, even though she'd run all the way to the tomb. "But it was him," she said. "He spoke to me." "You've got to be mistaken, woman. It's not him," Philip said. "Actually," replied Mary, "John and Peter have been to the tomb. It's empty." "Yes, they told me. But all that proves is that his body has been moved." Mary realized that Philip was not going to be convinced by anything she said. So finally, she simply told him, "You just wait. You'll see." Much later that day, she entered the house where the 11 had been staying. Except for Thomas, they were all there. And all 10 of them were sobbing for great joy. Great joy. The followers of Jesus, for them, our faith tells us that the tomb is empty because Jesus is alive. It is that belief that shapes all that we do and all that we say each and every day of our lives. May we provide eyewitness testimony through our faith in Jesus Christ so that we may proclaim he lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Let's pray together. Holy God, help us to be faithful witnesses to the power of your love. Let our lives mirror hope in the midst of despair. Let our deeds be filled with compassion in a world of bruising indifference. Let our words be truthful when misinformation holds center stage. And let our forgiveness build new bridges of reconciliation. Let Easter joy linger in our hearts and fill us with courage and hope. We ask this in the name of our risen Lord, Jesus the Christ. Amen. And our closing hymn today is He Lives. And that's found on the printed on the inside part of the insert. And we'll stand as we sing. All the world. prior to pronouncing the benediction, I did just want to announce that I'm going to ask the deacons to meet very briefly after the service for just one topic of discussion I'd like to share with them. So, the tomb is empty, and Jesus Christ is alive. What will be our response to that good news? Will we flee in fear, keeping the news to ourselves? Or are we ready to give an account of the resurrection hope that is within us? In the power of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may we be emboldened to share the gospel of the empty tomb with others. Amen.
Amen.